B-Pod Studios.
Hold everything 98.5 the Sports Hub has to offer in the palm of your hand. Palm of your hand. Palm of
your hand. I need that.
Listen live. Get breaking news.
I need it.
Download the Sports Hub app. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Toucher and Rich, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook on the Sports Hub.
Jimmy Butler, first half. Give me your impressions of what he's been able to do. He's got 11.
I thought he was good, but I got to say something, man. Why are you dumbass selfish plate making my head hurt? Ernie, let me tell you something.
Glad I asked you about Jimmy Butler.
I know, but I can't let it go, man.
I know.
You got, if you just come to the game and say, we're just going to jack up threes, and if we win, we're going to win. If we miss them, we're going to lose. They're 4 for 21. They probably, I forget what they were in last game.
7 for 35.
It's so bad to watch him play. There's no ball movement. There's no body movement. And it's just frustrating watching a team with this much talent just play stupid.
Barkley. I mean, he's absolutely right. it was go down there and just see what happens. Just maybe we'll chuck it up and when the threes don't fall, there was no other plan. And man, they were not falling. It was weird because when you're at the game, sometimes you kind of lose track of trends and things that might be going on. Like if you're not listening to the play-by-play people, update you with statistics and stuff. And I remember at the end of the first quarter, they flashed everything on the screen and said 0 for 10 from 3. And everyone in the place, you heard this like hum, like, ooh, like when they saw that. Because you knew it was bad. But then when you saw it actually go up, it's like, oh, boy. And who would have thought that the woes would continue for the rest of the night? And that just basically, the fact that they were able to win that game 6 shooting as bad as they did from 3 is really kind of astounding, to be honest.
It's one of those games, Rich, where at halftime, you looked at the numbers and go, well, they can't possibly shoot this bad for the rest of the game, and Miami can't possibly shoot this well for the rest of the game,
yep.
So clearly it's going to even out.
Yeah. Caleb Martin can't continue to make shots like this.
Well, the only thing you could say about that Derek White putback is that there's a lot of people who almost wish he didn't do it. That way it didn't cost people a bunch of money to go to the game last night. If it was just over game 6, then, there would have been people who had their $800 to get in for the cheapest ticket at that game yesterday. It was nice to obviously see Isaiah Thomas. It's always cool when Isaiah Thomas is at the game and he gets like a huge pop. Like the place went crazy because after he left, it was basically over. I mean, his career was
that guy gave his career for this franchise.
He did. And I'm a firm believer that I think the medical staff didn't do him so hot. I don't think they did him any favors. That's one thing I'll definitely, it was funny because not funny, but it was strange to see that almost was the year after John that he left. They basically got like rid of almost the entire medical staff.
Yeah. That happened shortly afterwards, and there's no one that I can think of that's played in a Celtic uniform that I would like to see, would have liked to have seen play in an NBA Finals more than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, he's
that
been...
guy on a worldwide stage, that would have been great. Now, the game has passed him by. What I mean by that is he's too short to play at this point.
And like, you get clobbered the way that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that he would just get absolutely pounded and have that tiny body. I mean,
he's relatively young, but he's done, I think, as a, an NBA player that gets a lot of minutes. Unfortunately, I wish there was some way you could bring him back and put him on this roster.
And as much as I obviously am a fan of Jason Tatum, and I like what he's become this year, even though he does disappear for some games, there hasn't been a player since Paul Pierce as exciting on this roster as Isaiah Thomas was. That period of time where he was just in the fourth quarter, the king of the fourth, right? Isn't that what they crowned him?
King of the fourth.
I mean, he just was, it was must-see television. And it does suck that his career is... definitely not what it was. And I don't even know if he's still playing anymore. I follow him on Twitter, and I think he kind of started playing in like one of the lesser leagues. And
yeah, no, he signed a couple of 10 days, not this season, but last season. I mean, he came back. I forget who it was with. It might have been Denver a couple of years ago. But no, he is not. Not New Orleans had him for a while. Not given a fair chance.
All right, Michael, what's on your mind, man?
Yeah, I was just got to say, Jaylen Brown, he's a hot garbage dumpster fire. He's got to go. Guy's a bum. And, I mean, more importantly than anything with these Celtics, man, they don't hate to lose. And, you know, you look at a guy like Jimmy Butler, that's the guy that hates to friggin' lose. I mean, his mama kicked him out when he was like 11. That guy hates losing. And yeah, look at him now. He's going.
And Michael, you're right. I mean, that there is a mentality that they had, I believe, when Ime Udoka was the coach that they don't seem to have right now. I mean, when their backs are to the wall, you see them play well, but you would like to see more of that. When I mean, you'd like to see them step on people's throats the way that they did at the end of last season. Like, they were a team that no lead was too big. They would continue to build on whatever lead. They were all about blowing out teams. They had no mercy at the end of games. And you loved to see that. Because remember, before Ime showed up, and even at the very beginning when he was there, do you remember how many leads they would just blow? Like, that was their calling card. There was no lead that was too big that they couldn't blow.
I know. Once they got their act together right around Christmas, it was different. And more to your point, think about how last night's game ended. This game was over early in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and it was a 23-point game midway through the fourth. Joe Mazzulla cleared his bench with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. Meanwhile, Eric Spoelstra left his starters out there until there were about 30 seconds left.
Yep.
That's the difference.
All right, let's go to Dan. Dan, good morning.
Oh, my God. Watching Jaylen Brown is so frustrating. I get that he's good, but, like, after, like, the fourth or fifth turnover, I pulled a Bob Barker, and I was just like, this guy sucks, and I don't know what's going on. But what else was I going to say? Oh, God. I hope they fumble his contract out of bounds, too, when they go to sign that $300 million deal.
Well, hold on. Leave him there. Leave him on. Dan, I got a question for you. If you don't want to re-sign Jaylen Brown, he's got 1 year left on his contract, but reality, you got to do something with him this summer. Are you ready for this franchise to take a step back? Are you ready for them not to go as far in the playoffs? Because whatever you get for Jaylen Brown isn't going to be as good as Jaylen Brown.
Unless it's Damian Lillard.
Yeah, but don't they go and just buy a superstar? Can't you just go buy a superstar?
No.
Isn't that what LeBron keeps doing? He just goes buy his friends?
No, and no. Then in? Unfortunately, well, their spending has limited that. The cap's different now. You can't do that.
I mean, you're hearing a bunch of names that are being thrown around of people who he could be traded for. And the two biggest ones, the two ones that I guess arguably would be the most significant is, you know, that right now Atlanta wants to do something with Trae Young. That's a name you continue to hear out there. I'd rather have Jaylen Brown than Trae Young.
I think I would too.
Yeah, I don't think that's a question.
Young is a generational offensive player, but you do not trade Jaylen Brown.
I wouldn't do that. Damian Lillard's the other one. Now, that gets a little more complicated. Like, that's more of a, let's look at this and try to figure out all sides of it, because Lillard is older, obviously.
Yep, he's in his early 30s.
And I do know that Portland's looking to do something with Damian Lillard.
Yes.
I just wonder if...
would Portland do that?
I'm just wondering if, as young as Jaylen Brown is, if you are acting on emotion right now. Because Jaylen Brown this season has been... there's been times where he's been the best player on this team. Where there's been games where... And that's what you hoped for last night. You hoped for that last night. When your star player goes down... everyone looked at Jaylen Brown, and what did he do? He had as many field goals as he did turnovers. And Jaylen Brown it becomes infuriating after a while, because you can call it from a mile away. It's like, here he goes. He's frustrated. He's going to try to drive it right into the paint, and he's going to kick it out of bounds. And he just does that all the time. And if we can see it, and if everyone in the arena can see it, and everyone watching TV can see it, then why can't he figure out a way to not be that guy?
I know. Because
Tatum has gotten better at it. Tatum, that used to be a huge problem for him. He still does it every once in a while, but it's not like it used to be. I just wish that he would almost sit down with Jason Tatum and go, show me the way, please. How do I not, like, fumble the ball? Like, what do you got? Like, are you using I heard Eddie House say something last night I thought was pretty funny, because he's using the wrong kind of skin moisturizer. It's just, like, slipping off his hands.
The funny part about, no, it's not funny, but the frustrating part about all of this is you can see it at times Jaylen Brown, last year in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, 34 points. Played 44 minutes, and with Jason Tatum struggling, Jaylen Brown was the guy at the end of that series. And you saw him drop 40 against Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, too. But it doesn't always happen. In Philadelphia, against Philadelphia, the Philadelphia series, Rich, he was very consistent all the way through. But you get to a situation like this when the season's on the line and he has a game like that. I mean, this is one of those times, and more to your point, Ryan, I think when the regular season ended, and don't forget he averaged 27 points a game. By definition, he's one of the top 10 players in the NBA. I think ownership was ready to fork over that money as soon as when the playoffs started. I'm sure ownership was ready. You know, where's my checkbook?
They're going to sign him. They're going to sign
him. But yeah, there's no question. You're in a situation now where there's going to be a thought, okay, we have to make sure we agree on this.
Real quick, I saw a tweet, or I saw a comment similar to this last week, and I'm seeing another one here, and this is, you're going to hear this a little bit. So is it, is Ja Morant a distressed enough asset to be able to acquire?
I don't want Ja Morant here.
Who wants Ja Morant?
I'm not a chance.
Here. That's the, with a new coach? That's the last thing you want. Because
gun,
John
gun laws
problem.
Are more restrictive here, though.
Right. I mean, you know, in Massachusetts,
yep.
It's a little tougher.
Do his friends come with him?
John Morant.
Let's really make this fun.
As a talent, you bet your ass I would love to have that guy. But there's some times where the talent isn't worth the headache. And John Morant is a prime example of that. We'll take one more for you. Go to break. Patrick, what's up, man?
Hey, we need a real coach and we need a real point guard. We got to get rid of Marcus Smart. We got to get rid of Joe Mazzulla.
You see, I don't mind Marcus Smart being on this roster as long as you got Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon.
I need Marcus to play his game. And I don't need him to take as many shots. I mean, that's my issue. And he's a better shooter than he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another thing with Mazzulla, and this gets buried because Derek White's heroics. Who took the shot at the end of that game? Who got the shot again at the end of that game?
Smart. Now, would you say it's because Jason Tatum wasn't able to get open and Marcus Smart was the only guy that was able to?
Miami didn't defend the inbounds. They just put two guys on Tatum,
which is fine. But as we've talked about, and I know, Rich, you've said it too, Marcus Smart is shooting a three is literally your worst option.
Yep,
and that always ends up being, even down 1 point, need three, it always ends up being the last shot.
I know, it's true.
And I don't care if Miami doesn't put a guy on Marcus Smart, there's still four other guys on the floor that I'd rather have taking that shot.
Real quick, more to your point, Ryan, it's just like I was talking about with Jaylen Brown. Sometimes he is next level in the playoffs, and last night this happened. Marcus Smart, and you will admit, for large portions of the season, was that guy, was that point guard. His shots were down, his assists were up, his turnovers were down. But then we get to the end of the regular season and we get to the playoffs.
Marcus wants
and you
to be
saw
the hero.
Him, and then you saw him take shots again.
Yep.
And that Marcus Smart was the quintessential point guard. You had a real hard time finding anybody to say anything bad about Smart in January and February and a little bit of March, too.
Somebody said my buddy sold four seats a few rows from courtside for $4,500 apiece. Somebody paid $18,000 for that abomination of a game.
God.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. I'll tell you what, I mean, the place was, you even heard, you know, afterward I saw the clips of them doing it because I was there, but the TNT guys were saying, this is like, this feels like a college football game. The place is so rowdy right now.
Adam Himmelsbach, about 20 minutes before the game last night, said he had never heard the Garden that loud that early.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like mid-game intensity 20 minutes before tip-off.
So about 30 minutes before the game started, I got there like right in time, but I went through the hub hallway, you know, or the food hall that they've got there.
Yeah.
You would have thought you were in the arena. Like, the place was going absolutely insane. They were just showing like highlights. Like, they were playing, you know, the TNT broadcast, and they're showing highlights from previous games. The place was going insane inside the food court downstairs. And it really sucks that they weren't able to deliver last night. And it really sucks that Jaylen Brown was a no-show. Because it was laid out in front of him for him to be the hero last night. He was the guy. Storybook, you're going to be the man. Tatum goes down. Very first play of the game. Goes down with an ankle injury. And what does Brown do? He just barfs on his shoes. Absolutely just blows it. And it sucks. But is it bad enough to for this team to consider not signing him to a massive contract? I personally think they're going to sign him. I just think it's the easy way to go. And listen, I don't even know if it's the wrong choice. I don't know. If you're telling me that it's possibly Damian Lillard or Trae Young, I don't know if I want to trade for
throw out Trae Young. Trae Young's not coming here. I think that everyone has seen the ups and downs of Trae Young. Damian Lillard is a killer. That's the one that you look at. The problem is Lillard has a lot of miles on him, and you figure maybe two or three more years total before he really starts to go downhill. So all of a sudden, you have that window that's going to close with Jason Tatum with a lot of time left. These two guys will get you into the playoffs and at least two rounds in for another 3 or 4 years.
I do love Lillard's game, man. I do love that guy.
If you put Tatum and Brown together, those are two. I mean, and how long have we said, why can't we have two top 10 players? We're not sure if Jason Tatum's that guy. 3 years ago, we're not sure if Jason Tatum's that guy. We're not sure if Jaylen Brown's that guy. They are those guys. The question is this a learning process or is this the ceiling?
Yeah,
that's what you have to ask yourself.
At some point, you have to make the decisions like, are we going to be the Clippers? Are we going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder where you have two great players and it just doesn't ever really click?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they're looking at right now. What, four out of the last?
Five out of seven.
Five out of seven. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
And they just can't. They've made it to the finals once. They're up two games, weren't they? I'm trying to think of the finals. Didn't they win the first two?
No, they were up two games to one.
Two games to one. That's what it was. They're up two games to one. Golden State. Yeah. Ugh, what a kick in the nuts. All right, we'll take your calls again. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher.
Look around the room with great disgust.
Rich.
There's something weird going on behind those eyes.
Wallach.
Here I am.
And you.
You think Johnny Boy gets uncomfortable?
What could possibly go wrong?
Is the power vested in me by the Baseball Hall of Fame?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time to break Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up. Jaylen Brown was horrible tonight. 8 turnovers, 8 for 23 from the field. Jason Tatum hurt. This is the time that he's supposed to step up. I just don't know if you're the front office of the Celtics, how much longer you're going to be patient with this duo. And it's going to be guys out there that are going to be somewhat on the market, like a Trae Young and a Damian Lillard. And I think the front office, Brad Stevens and Whit Grospec, is going to have to take a hard look at whether or not they want to bring Jaylen Brown back and pair him up with Jason Tatum, which I think they should. And I think they should go out there and try to get a Damian Lillard. And if they fall short of getting him, then go get a Trae Young. But I think it's time to end this relationship right now.
Well, that is Kendrick Perkins last night. And hey, we're back for the 12th Who's Your Caddy Classic, benefiting the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. Monday, June 12th at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton, 8 a.m. shotgun start. On sale this Thursday, June 1st at 10 a.m. You can visit 98.5sportshub.com/caddy. $700 per foursome. It includes 18 holes of golf, golf cart, gift bag, and post-round lunch, a live and silent auction, 50-50 raffle, and the chance to win a brand new Jeep with a hole-in-one, sponsored by Jeep, Source Promo, and the Long Drink. I would recommend, if you want to go to that, get online immediately at 10 a.m. and be ready because those things sell out like fast. I'm talking like 30 seconds fast. It sells out. By the way, we'll get back to the Celtics, and if we'll take your call as well, 617-779-0985. But how great is this Twitter account burner story about this referee, Eric Lewis? It's just the best. Like, okay, if you haven't heard,
I just love the comment. The player starting to comment on it is terrific.
It's fantastic. So if you have not heard, there is a referee, Eric Lewis, who just randomly, there was this guy named Blair Cutliffe on Twitter, at Cutliffe Blair, who every time there was any kind of criticism about Eric Lewis, world famous referee, they would defend Eric Lewis, world famous referee. And to that I say, could you be any more blatantly obvious that that is your burner account? Like, it's almost as if he Googled his name or Twitter searched his name and then had to comment about how everyone was wrong about Eric Lewis, world famous referee. Now, the reason that this is a big deal is because referees aren't supposed to comment on anything in the game. It's like part of the deal where you just are basically you're silent afterwards, except unless it's like an official statement. And now the NBA is investigating this guy as to whether or not it's truly a burner account. But you're right. All of the different, a bunch of different players, like LeBron James, even commented on it. It's like, is this Eric Lewis and that is the crap emoji real? And there was a couple of other guys who were saying, well, this is obviously the Eric Lewis burner account. Immediately it was deleted. The account is gone. There's no sign of it anymore. And burner accounts are a steal, girl. First of all, who has time for a burner account? Like, who has time to actually maintain it and have to go through it and defend yourself? And on top of that, if you're someone random like this guy and all you do, like if someone checks your timeline and all you do is defending one random person like that, it's like being a fan of like the third hunkiest guy from Menudo. And just and just only defending that guy on Twitter. Well, obviously, you are the third hunkiest guy from Menudo defending yourself. And what's great, too, is when these guys get busted, because sometimes they get busted in the best of ways. Like Skip Bayless one time, Skip Bayless had tweeted something along the lines of, hey, I think that's, LeBron James is the worst player in the league. And then there was a burner account that was underneath it that said, yep, Skip, I think you're right. And then right underneath it was Skip's account saying, yep, Skip, I think you're right. He forgot, like he double tweeted, but tweeted from the two accounts. And so he was like, all right, Skip, well, that's obviously you. Yep, Skip, you're right. Love what you're saying, Skip. So he got busted doing it. Of course, there's Kevin Durant, who famously
had a burner account. Durant is sensitive regardless of if he has a burner or not. I mean, it's what's he protecting at this point?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he claps back at everybody anyway. And who is the executive, the NBA executive?
Oh, well, he got in trouble. So it was the 76ers guy.
That's right.
It was the GM of the Sixers.
Before Morey came in, yes.
But I believe it was, or at least they blamed it on his wife, who was like going up against a bunch of fans and defending the stuff that the GM had done. It was the GM's wife, and he got fired for it, right?
Yes.
So that's what's happening with the Blair Cutliffe account, is it's claiming to be Eric Lewis's older brother, Mark. Like, this is Mark Lewis, right? Family, sure. Older brother. I'm sorry that I put E in this situation, but this ain't Watergate.
Is that like Randy Moss with his older brother, Jacob? Do you remember when he would show up? And I don't have the clip, but Randy Moss used to do this like thing. Hey, let me go get, it was like a video chat. He'd go, let me get my older brother, Jacob. And then he'd walk out of the room and just come in with glasses and goes, hey, I'm the older brother, Jacob. Didn't really have a voice or anything. No character, and then he would just leave and come back. That sounds a lot like this. But burner accounts, it's like, I mean, you're almost always going to get busted if you got it. As a matter of fact, I've told you this before. There is somebody very close to all of us in the local media who has a burner account that I know of, and they don't think anybody knows that that's their burner account.
Interesting. I don't know who you're talking about.
I know you don't, because I won't tell anybody, because the minute I do, that person's going to find out and stop using it. Because I love seeing every time that person tweets going, I know who you are.
Now, this burner is anti-who, without trying to give anything away?
Oh, anti-people he works with.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is someone trying to jockey for a promotion.
Oh. All right, you caught me. What are you doing?
No, it is not you, Ryan. It is not you. what's so great about it is that
is it John? He's jockeying for promotion too.
Hey,
wow, we got two people in the room right now.
Hey, Grandy, you missed another break.
Wow, that Max is really good at his job.
Man, things are so much better when Grandy's not there.
Thanks, Rich. You just outed John and or Ryan.
Damn. Could be Max, too.
Yeah, like Max has time to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, Max don't care.
He don't need a promotion.
No. Do you think he cares what people say?
Speaking of which, by the way, big weekend for Sean Grandy, who was all over WWE programming this week, along with Jay Stu.
Oh, well, Jay Stu got bumped into by one of the dudes, and he had to act to put his hands like, oh, not me.
Grandy voiced over the intro for the pay-per-view the other night.
Jeez.
Plus was on camera just hanging out backstage and dapping up the wrestlers as they went by.
What do you think Sean's going to do if for some reason Mike Gorman, who's going to be on with us at 8:20, if for some reason Mike Gorman ends up retiring and then Sean, some national guy gets Gorman's gig, what do you think that Grandy will do?
He'll join the WWE.
Could very well do it.
He might do that.
And by the way, that'd be fine with him.
It'd be fine with you.
He's been, that goes without saying, but I mean, don't need a burner account for that. No, but Sean has been a wrestling fan for 35 years.
Oh, there's no question. I mean,
he's huge into that stuff.
I forgot who sent me the picture, and maybe it was even Grandy who tweeted it, but he was calling a game, and on his computer screen, he had up WWE Raw.
Mm-hmm.
While he was actually watching the game, he was watching Raw at the same time. Good for him. He does a good job calling the games. But you do a better job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
His stats are good. His stats are weird. He's super nerdy.
Yep.
I mean, he's no Dick Leip.
No.
Dick Leip coming out there hot. Everyone loves Dick Leip.
Yeah.
Well, they should. He gives Gorman a lot of the stats.
Sean's got the laptop. He's working immediately after the game is over. He's got the laptop. He's entering stats. He's always entering stats just to keep everything updated.
I just love seeing this guy tweet. It's my favorite thing. Because I know it's him.
How do you know it's him?
I'm not gonna tell you, but I know it's him.
How you know, or have you seen him do it? Did someone tell you?
Somebody forgot to do something. That this is not a I think it's him, I know it's him. Like, I know it. I'm not gonna tell you how.
I mean, you're leaving this stuff out there.
But it is fun.
I have an idea of how you might know.
You know what? It just dawned on me, Ryan.
An idea of how you might.
I get it now.
But watching who the targets are that they go after is pretty great.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, dude, if that person knew that was you,
yeah,
you'd have a problem.
I think all of a sudden the clouds have parted. Now I think I understand. I'm beginning to pick up what you're putting down.
Okay.
I got it.
All right, but it is fun. It is fun when you know, and it would ruin everything if I told anybody. So I've kept it quiet.
I understand
because I'm having too much fun watching all this happen. It's just kind of something you got in your back pocket, you know.
Just in case.
All right. 617-779-0985. As I said, Mike Gorman will be on at 8:20. And we'll also have Chris Forsberg on at 9:00 to give us a little bit of a postmortem. And we'll take your calls. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're not just talking sports.
They're slaughtering a chicken in the back and then preparing it.
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Houser returns to the Jalen in the corner against Bam. Jalen switches to the left hand, exposes the ball, and commits his 8th turnover of game 7.
Ooh.
A nightmare that Jalen cannot wake up from.
We shot 21% from 3. Defense was still there.
Is this team too reliant on the three-point shot? Does that have to change?
No.
Touch a Rich Show presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel.
All right, Mike, can you do me a favor?
Can you see if you could get the entirety of the Joe Mazzulla, Abby Chin interview yesterday? It's only going to take you 30 seconds. Yeah, because it's about 30 seconds long. I would like to play that because, listen, there's part of me that has a little bit of sympathy towards any player, any coach after a huge loss like that, you know, whether, you know, they sucked and didn't do a good job or not. It's still like a massive moment. Like your season is over. And I can understand you maybe being a little terse, maybe not as cordial as you usually would be. But I do think there is a difference between being visibly or acting upset after a tough loss and just being a dick. And I think that Mazzulla rides on that side of the road a little more than the other one.
Even if you take that part of it out, though, right? The answer to that question, is your team too reliant on the three? Does something need to change? And is, you know, he gives a terse no response. How, after you get eliminated by the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, when you had a clear path to the final, do you not say something along the lines of, we've got to look at everything this offseason?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've got to look at how something needs to change. And it's not our offensive approach, despite the fact that we couldn't hit anything in a game seven, and we couldn't pivot to anything else offensively, that we had four games in this series where you shot less than 30% from three.
Mm-hmm. And the last two.
You're telling me that isn't why you lost the series? That you're not too reliant on the three? You can't change anything else offensively. It's just keep shooting and hope they fall.
The thing that, and I don't know if this is a negative or not, but if you take a look at the way Al Horford and Malcolm Brogdon shot the three during the season, both were not in the top four on the team. Both of them were in the top four in the entire league at shooting threes this year. They never had to pivot to anything because the two of them were spectacular shooters this year from three. And so when both started missing, and obviously Brogdon got hurt, then it was, oh my God, what do we do? Because we never had to do this the season.
And John, what amount of those threes were frustration threes last night too? Because that's the deal. Like if someone's wide open and you shoot up a three and it's part of the play, whatever, sometimes it's make or miss, as long as it's the right guy shooting the threes. Mm-hmm. But how many times yesterday and the game before was it we can't figure out anything to do against this Spoelstra defense, and I'm just going to chuck it up because the shot clock's running low.
The zone, here's the thing, and again, it's maddening because you saw them pick it apart at times during this series. The zone really bothered them, and they figured the only way, it's like a college team, the only way to beat this zone is to make three-point shots. And you saw Grant Williams, who's very good from the corners, miss threes. You saw, you know, Jason Tatum not take threes. You saw Jaylen Brown miss threes from all over the place. And then you saw Marcus Smart miss threes from all over the place. But instead of getting the ball into the center of the zone, which they did in games 4 and 5 to a wild amount of success, they went away from it again. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, Mazzulla afterwards, he didn't have the he doesn't handle defeat very well. You can get up there when they win. I mean, although he used to not be able to handle winning very well. I remember the whole, anybody want to ask me about adjustments? Remember that? He got a little bit better at it in this series, but then you had, like, you know, situations like this.
Do you look back at maybe a game two and, you know, do you look back with any regret at some of the things you could have done to win earlier rather than put yourself in this situation?
No.
And that was it. Just no. Although he is the one who himself admitted that he did not have them ready for what was that, game three? Was it game three? Was that the one where he said, I didn't have them ready?
Right.
But he doesn't regret that.
But they had the right mindset going into it.
I mean, come on. I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. Joe Mazzulla is not the reason they lost last night. He could have helped, but they still were going to lose. Like, the players just didn't show up. But if Ime Udoka is the coach of this team, are they in the finals? And I believe the answer is yes, because they don't choke away one of those first three games, and they sure as hell have a mindset of getting out there and trying to win. As I said, you need a coach
that brings some sort of toughness to this team, who just brings a culture of toughness. And Ime Udoka had that. He had that when he showed up. Believe it or not, Brad Stevens, you know, not, you don't look at him and just think, well, this guy's a bruiser. But, I mean, he had him playing hard defense. And when you have a guy who comes in there and all he does in Brogdon, I want to play this clip one more time. I might play this clip 10 times this morning because there's no one out of every all the talking heads, out of all of the coaches and team members of the team, no one said it better than Brogdon did last night. Malcolm Brogdon came out and said exactly what he believes went wrong with his team.
We fell. I fell.
That's Jaylen Brown. Here's Malcolm Brogdon.
What happened personally? What happened with the team?
We fell. I fell.
Hang on, that says Brogdon right there. That is not a Brogdon.
Having enough trouble without mislabeling.
Let me try. Actually, you know what it is? They're all BRO. Is that a bro?
Because it's Brogdon and Brown. Yeah, okay, I got it.
It's a bunch of bros.
Yeah.
All right, let's hope this is
just
the right.
Bro-ing out.
Let's hope this is the right bro.
It was the issue. You know, I think this was a team in last year that prided themselves on defense. I think defense was their calling card. And this year, offense was our calling card. And I don't think you win championships with a better offense than you have a defense. Pretty much we were the best offensive team in the league. But defensively, I thought we have the versatility. I thought we have the talent defensively. But, you know, on any given night, we were just, you know, let go of the rope.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of open shots for Cody Martin. A lot of open shots for Kyle Lowry. A lot of open shots for Duncan Robinson while he was in there. How many backdoor plays did Duncan Robinson score on in the second half? Yeah.
If you're Malcolm Brogdon and you join this team, I mean, you basically joined a completely different team than you thought you were as far as the way that they played. I mean, you're looking at it, it's like, wow, defensive, this is awesome. This is the type of team that wins. And then they got, you know, a guy in Joe Mazzulla who's all about shooting the three. That's your that's your best stat. Shoot them threes. Shoot them threes. Shoot them threes. And it bit him in the ass. It did.
Wait, not to go overboard with it, because it may not have mattered in the grand scheme of things, given Tatum's injury and everything else, the way they played last night. But early on in the game, Mazzulla's first timeout, when it was 9-4,
mm-hmm.
and he calls timeout after they got a rebound and they're going for a fast break.
Yeah.
And he calls timeout. Miami scored 23 of the next 29 points in the game after that. Like, and took control of the game. Right. Like, literally, you're up 9-4. Miami can't hit a shot in the first 5-6 minutes of the game. Mazzulla calls this odd timeout, and then Miami goes on a run that lasts like the next 7-8 minutes.
All right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because being at the game, I was trying to figure out whether something had happened to one of the players. Like,
it was such an odd timing for a timeout.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I remember being there going, why would you call a timeout there? And my whole thing was like, all right, well, I'll just have to assume that maybe there was a player who was hurt, or he wanted to, you know, he saw like something, you know,
they came up empty in a couple of two or three possessions in a row, and he called a timeout. So are you insinuating that after all the criticism Joe Mazzulla has gotten, rightfully so, for not calling timeouts to break runs, the reason the Celtics crapped themselves in the first quarter and in the first half is because he called that timeout?
No, I'm just
and
saying,
ruined any momentum they would have had?
No, but I'm just saying, okay, you're saying, like, you use that timeout, Miami has come out of the gate with nothing.
I understand
with
your point.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You're giving them a free chance to regroup,
too. I understand
too.
Your point, but what's
he's,
your...
He's
what
not
is
saying
the,
that. No, he's not saying that. He's just saying it was an odd time to do it.
I've never seen a coach... I don't think I've ever seen an NBA coach call a timeout while his team is headed on a fast break.
It was weird, man.
Even if it's in your head that, like, hey, when we get this ball back, I'm going to call a timeout because I feel like our guys, you know, maybe they're not in it right now. But when your guy grabs the rebound and throws it ahead for a fast break, timeout, ref, timeout.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because I totally forgot, because I remember when I was at the game, I'm looking at the people next to me. It's like, do you know why he called that timeout? And I was like, no. I was like, it must be like an injury or something. There was something off on, you know, with one of the players, and they didn't mention any of that on the broadcast. That was just...
Now, maybe that was like... The caller said earlier, like, maybe they needed to get Tatum, you know, looked at, and maybe it was something like that. Because I think that was when they took him out of the game in the first quarter. They sat him down for a little while.
Okay, well, if that's the case, if that was...
Because
I don't remember if they took him out after that.
But it's also like 6 minutes after he got hurt. So, like, he's been playing through it all that time.
He's been out there.
didn't seem like it was an emergency to get him out of the game.
Yeah, that was strange. But I mean, but it was funny. Like listening to some of the post game stuff when I got home, it was pretty funny how like all of them are watching the same thing that we're watching, and none of them are they're looking at them chucking up threes, and Shaq had actually a pretty funny line.
When my team goes 0-for-10 the first quarter, you know what I'm telling everybody? Don't shoot another three. Shoot another three, and I'm punching your face. Just get the ball inside. Let's take Hopkinson. No, seriously. Yeah. This is a game 7 closing game. If my team is 0-for-10 in the first quarter, I'm going to the bench and say, next person shoot a three, I'm punching you in your face.
That was pretty fantastic.
There is no show better than this one.
No, it's great.
That show right there, there is no – I don't care what people you put – together, everything else is a pretender to Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal.
And that's it. That's over. It's over. They're not doing the finals, which sucks. I just thought that was great. Dave, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I'm disappointed like everybody else is, but I think when you talk about changes they need to make for next year, there were about 8 times in the first half that the Celtics would either miss an open jumper or and kind of take 2 shuffles back while Miami's sprinting, or they thought there was a foul and they would complain to the referee and then Miami would be 5-on-3 and hit an open 3-pointer. So I think what they need to do is they need to spend whatever they can get to get Kevin Garnett and Charles Oakley and Kevin Willis and maybe the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket to be assistant coaches. And it's not something that LeBron and Kevin Durant and other players that were kind of seen as like soft and Uber Downton and Spacey didn't go through until their mid-20s, but they got to have a cultural change on that team to be able to have the toughness to win a championship.
It's true. It's true. And I have to be honest, I'm having a hard time, and I know it had to have happened, but I'm having a hard time remembering when there was a gratuitous complaint to the refs by anyone on Miami. I'm really having a hard time of thinking when there was a foul, like maybe Bam. But I can think of 1,000 times when the Celtics did.
I was amazed Tatum didn't get teed up last night.
Yeah.
He and the ref literally were in a shouting match under the basket.
I just got to think that that's something that Spoelstra drills into them. You will not complain to the refs. You will get back on defense, and you will be ready for the next play.
I saw Jimmy Butler do it last night, but again, he didn't scream and get in the guy's face. But he was bitching and moaning too. All-star players do it. The Celtics seem to do it more.
But I'm just having a hard time remembering like one moment where I was like, all right, get back, where they're complaining. I didn't see – that's got to be a Spoelstra thing where he's just like, I don't ever want to see you complaining no matter what. You get back there and get on defense. So good on them. They're a tougher team.
Sadly, Arlie Ermey not – available.
Ah, darn it.
Assistant coach on this.
Rest in peace, voice of the soldier in Toy Story. 617-779-0985. I always wanted to see if you could take the dialogue from Full Metal Jacket and insert it into Toy Story.
Was he in the second Fletch? He was in the second Fletch.
Yes. He was the Reverend.
Reverend in the second Fletch.
Which, by the way, you could never make the second Fletch today.
There's probably people
trying to make that disappear.
That script shows up, that thing gets burned immediately. No.
Immediately. All right. Well, we got Nick with some reaction outside the Garden last night right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.